You're with SBS Radio.
The book is an exploration of the ways in which Aboriginal people contributed to the early collections of museums and various natural history centres. So the idea was we would look at the ways in which Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people were used and had their knowledge contributed to the collection of faunal materials for the early collections.
Yeah, it's a collection of animals that was initially used for museums and scientists and other discoverers, just sometimes just curiosity, but also it helped in the settlement of the country.
Indigenous knowledge most certainly did help in the settlement of the country because in a lot of cases people didn't know what to eat. We only have to look at the tragedy of Burke and Wills. I mean, Burke and Wills perished in a landscape that was full of food because they didn't ask Aboriginal people what they might eat. In fact, the stories that associated with that particular tragedy are that the Aboriginal people looked on and were perplexed by the fact that these people didn't know what to eat.
Yeah, it happens all the time. We hear even nowadays people trying to cross the country, they break down in the middle of the desert and because they don't know how to read the landscape. There could be a waterway just around the corner and yet they couldn't tell because they've got no idea what kind of environment they are in.
That's right. And I think one of the things that Australia was a very foreign place to the European eyes when people first arrived here from Britain and Europe.
Your book covers a very long time, even before settlement. You look at the indigenous knowledge and you say the first occupants of the land, the Aboriginal people, had a very intimate knowledge of all their surrounding. The only difference is the way it was recorded. It's not our traditional way of writing things and keeping written records.
Sure. Yeah. So Aboriginal knowledge, absolutely intimately connected to land, to the land, to the country. And in order to not merely live in that environment, but in fact to thrive, as we know they did, they had to understand the complex ecological regimes. They would have had to understand the environment. They would have understood animals, the animals' ecosystems, and also the plants and all the various environments that the plants occupy. So they would have had to really appreciate this country for all of its diversity.
Till today, we are actually to survive in our environment and to actually understand what's going on. This knowledge is still being applied. But the most important thing you put in there is that this knowledge was not properly acknowledged. And this book is, I would say, is the tribute to that knowledge.
Definitely. We think that particularly those early Europeans, they were very aware of just the depth of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander knowledge for their environments. But it's not really been something that's been fully acknowledged. So the idea of the book is that we've now been able to track back through all these records and we can show that Aboriginal people played a key role in that early faunal, in the development of early Australian faunal knowledge.
And you also demystify a few things. For instance, when you show that in a part of the country, particularly in the southwest of town part of the country, there was actually settlements where some form of industry was practiced. So all Aboriginal people were not semi-nomadic. They were actually
settled. That's something that the Europeans would have been fully aware of. And if you take somewhere like Western Victoria, where you've got the basically semi-permanent villages of the eel hunters for the Gunditjmara people, we know that in other parts of the country, people weren't necessarily nomadic, and certainly in Western Australia, there's evidence there as well of significant what we might call agricultural practices.
In the book, you really detail a lot of the collections and the gathering of evidence and the gathering of plants, animals, and all that in really a lot of details. You detail how some animals were discovered in this area and how people were being sent to go and gather those animals and how those people were the first peoples who were sent to gather the animals, how they were being also treated sometimes with disdain.
Yes, it varies. I mean, it varies right across. It goes from, in a sense, contempt and disdain right through to a recognition that these were absolutely invaluable and they were partners in the research, even though, of course, they never benefited from the research in the way that the collectors might have. They made their name, they made their reputations, and sometimes they even made their fortune.
Yeah, and the naming of the plants as well. You mentioned that some of the, not just the plants, the animals that were discovered, they were being named after European personalities, or even after the discoverers themselves, and not taking into account the original.
Very little acknowledgement was given for Aboriginal people and their knowledge. It was noted often in journals, but it certainly didn't eventuate into the naming of individual species.
And you detail a lot of anecdotes and a lot of really, I don't read it just as a naturalist book. I read it as a history book, and full of details and very, very well illustrated. And you explore, you compiled it in a chronological way, and also there's some very, very important facts, like how the discovering of the waterways and the Murray-Darling Basin, and how all those expeditions were actually prepared and run.
Well, it is very much a history book, and it's I think quite pertinent that it was written by a zoologist and an expert in the area, in Penny Olsen, and myself as a historian and with an Aboriginal perspective as well. So it's definitely a book that I would like to think is going to be widely read and would be read by people with a general interest in the history of our country, because it's not specifically just about, you know, it's certainly not written just for zoologists. It's written for people who would have an interest. And there's lots of interest these days in Indigenous knowledge, as we know from the work of Bill Gammage and Bruce Pascoe and others. So I'm hoping that this will be something that's quite widely read as a history book.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.